Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andrew P. Shea. Andy, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Jimmy. Welcome to 2026. Do you remember when it was Y2K, and it doesn't that feel like just a few years ago? I'm just asking.
You're showing your age, Andy. You're an old guy. And
not afraid to show it anymore, Jimmy.
What I'll tell you even more about Y2K, why it was relevant to me. If you recall, I was in the computer programming industry.
Ooh.
And what was, if I could do this very concisely, the software I was working with, they were like, okay, Y2K, everything changes, has to be upgraded. You have to purchase all new everything. They were making it, the sky is falling.
Chicken Little, the sky is falling. That's what it was.
I went in and accessed the code. Literally, Andy, and this is how programming worked at the time. They were trying to save space, so the field for year, they only used two digits. The assumption was everything was 1900-something. You know, people's date of birth, current date, and the fact that it was turning to, year 2000, you needed four digits. I could literally do a search and replace in a matter of 5 minutes, completely update the software without having to do any of the other upgrades. So for all my clients, that's all that was necessary, Andy. So I was aware that it was not going to be a big deal, at least for me and my clients. All right, taking care of little business here first, Andy.
We got a lot of business to take care of, Jimmy.
Well, this one is show business, our show. We actually missed the show this week. Our Wednesday show did not come out. Before I get any more text messages, emails, issues about Jim was under the weather.
Jim was sick. You were sick.
Yes. Terribly under the weather. I will spare the gory details.
Thank
Andrew
you.
P, he had to hear about it before we started. So he had to put up with it. But anyway, that's all it was. We're back better than ever. So, Andy, let's start with this. Because of that canceled show, we didn't go over the bowl game as much as maybe we should have. I wanted to get your take on it. The Pinstripe Bowl, I thought Penn State represented themselves pretty well. And I'm going to start with Terry Smith and his overall performance. What stood out to me, Andy, he had a team there that cared about being there. At least that's the way it appeared to me.
Well, if you're talking about just that game, so that's the first part of what did Terry Smith do to get this team ready for the Pinstripe Bowl, and what showed up, on the field was don't care who's playing, don't care who's not playing. None of that per se is relevant. When we step on the field, whoever that is, gosh darn it, this game matters. And that's why they beat Clemson, right? And they kind of, even though the score was close, or 0-0 for a good period, long period, one team was kind of dominant. You could see I'll say this. After 10 minutes of that football game, I said to the person I was watching with, there's about a 10% chance Clemson can win this football game. And they'll need Penn State's help for that 10% to come true. This game is – Penn State is dominating this football game on so many fronts. They wanted to be there. It mattered. He said, what's the difference between the two teams? One had football joy and one was going through the motions, right? That's what it looked like to me. One team was pure football joy. One team was like, we're doing our best. We're here. And that was what I think showed up on the field. that's coaching. I mean, scheme wise and offensive wise, it was really basic and simple. Just keep it simple, stupid, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it if we're talking about Terry and, you know, sort of overall the job he did as Penn State's head coach. That was your overarching thing.
And Andy, you talked about Penn State dominating the game. A quick statistic, total yards, 397 to 236. Yeah. There you go, right?
Yeah.
And before I get back to the positive things, and there were so many, Andy, I want to go a little bit negative. Going into the game, it was very surprising to see how few opt-outs there were for Penn State. That was leading up to the game.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, you know, you had on the offensive line, Vega Ioane announced well ahead of time he wasn't going to be playing. He's going to get ready for the draft. Then, like on game day, we see three more offensive linemen are out. And Andy, they don't look to me to be like NFL high draft pick type players. I felt like they could have used a little more on tape, especially after the season the offensive line had. Now, at running back, we didn't expect to see a lot from Catron Allen, but am I just being a fan when I'm disappointed because the team was aware this was going to be the case?
Yeah, I was in the opposite bag for you. I was like, oh, those three guys. There wasn't like a pre-bowl announcement that they were going to play, but it was like, yeah, they're not going to play. Catron Allen, I was more in the camp like, oh, gosh, thank God, kid, you're not playing. You know, I didn't want him to play. So to answer your question, are you being a fan in your disappointment? You're being an unrealistic fan expectation-wise in your disappointment. Because, you know, in your judgment, they might not, the offensive lineman who didn't play, they might not be high NFL players. So what? In this modern era of college football, if you even are a crack or have a shot at an NFL, and I think those guys have shots. Catron Allen's a surefire NFL draft pick. So,
yeah, Catron Allen, Andy, is surefire, and he's a running back. That's the most vulnerable position, okay? He had nothing to gain, so I get that. But those three offensive linemen, exactly how much NFL time do you think those three will get? And I'll add this, Andy. After their performance this season, I would have thought they would have said, oh, my goodness, I get one more chance to show them better than what I showed for this entire season.
Wow. I must admit, Jimmy, you know, based on our show planning and prep, I didn't expect salty, grumpy, angry Jimmy and a few Penn State players. I mean, the guys that played were fine. They did exactly what they did. So I'm like, it really was irrelevant for them to play, and it was a choice. I mean, I know we're going to get to DDS and his choice to play. I don't care if you don't play. I was grateful that Catron Allen didn't play. I was like, oh, God bless you, kid. Thank God you made the right decision.
Actually, from my perspective, okay, getting away from angry, salty fan Jim to logical, I'm okay in the bowl game. Like, I'm okay that Nick Singleton and Catron Allen didn't play. I kind of sort of wanted to see the young running backs play.
Sure.
With the offensive line, you know what? I kind of had enough of these guys on the offensive line. I wanted to see if there was something better than them. And I was impressed with what they did. It wasn't like they were great, but they were pretty good. And I didn't say that very often about some of those three guys who chose not to play. So my question more is for them, you know what? Them choosing not to play may be their choice to never play football again, Andy. There's a very real possibility their decision to not play in this bowl game was them saying, I'm never ever going to take a meaningful snap again.
Yeah. And these non-college football playoff bowl games are opportunities to take steps forward, right? Like the college football playoff games really matter. So you want your very best team out there. These non-college football playoff bowl, non-college football playoff, these bowl games, they're relevant. They're fun, but they really don't matter anymore, Jimmy. So, you know, move on and let some young guys play some football. I don't have a problem with it.
Andy,
I like it.
You know, we're kind of a little bit talking past each other, and that's my fault because I let the emotions be the lead in my bringing them up.
Yeah.
But I'm actually judging for their own let's do the counter to them, which is DDS, Deny Dennis Sutton, who is going to be – he is going to play on Sundays.
Yes.
He's a tremendously talented kid. And if he chose not to play, I'd say, I get it. Yeah, Andy, how impressed were you? Two things, that he played and how he played.
He played, you know, it was a really good football game. It mattered to him, right? So he played like he knew exactly what was on the table. This is my last chance to play for my school, right? Like his school. Penn State is his school. That's how the players identify themselves. That's my school. And it's important to him. And he played like it. And it's no less important that Penn State is their school to like Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. It's just Dennis felt differently about playing. And the fact he played well. Well, it certainly helped the defense. I mean, for a while there, he was kind of a one-man wrecking crew for Clemson's limited offense. And I always felt all along looking at this group of players, and I said this in before the bowl and a couple shows leading up to it, I just think someone's going to surprise you, right? Like, and play. Like, it just feels, it felt like, I felt there would be one person that felt like they had something inside them that felt unfinished. Turns out it's Deny Dennis Sutton.
Well, Andy, you know, I agree. Kudos to him for playing. And in comparison to, you know, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen, Deny Dennis Sutton is there. If he had chosen not to play, I'm good with it. I have more to say, though, on the topic, Andy, when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Andy Shea. It's quarter number two of our show. Andy, we're wrapping up the Pinstripe Bowl. You and I taking a little bit different angle on the guys who decide to sit out. Just to clarify, the guys like Catron Allen, Nick Singleton, Deny Dennis Sutton, Zane Durant, nothing to prove, everything to risk. If they sit out, no issue. I have no problem with it. The fact that Deny Dennis Sutton chose to play, pat on the back. I mean, big time for him. I'm thinking if I'm an NFL scout, I'm looking at that and I'm really impressed by it. I'm saying to myself, that's a guy who wants to ball. Okay. That's a guy I want on my team. That's the way I look at that. The guys, the offensive linemen, Khalil Dinkins, these are guys who did very little this season to show they are NFL caliber players. You know what? You guys, for your own good, should have been playing the game. That's my final thought, Andy. Let's hit on a couple of the young guys, which is the reason to watch. Andy's making faces at me.
Grumpy Jimmy. Grumpy right. Jimmy. Agree to disagree on your final statement.
All right, you're allowed. Let's move on to something I think we can agree on. There were a couple. Ethan Grunkmeyer, Quentin Martin. My thought was, I want to see I know Katron Allen and Nick Singleton are wonderful running backs, Andy. I wanted to see what's next. Who's next? You know what? It appears Quentin Martin's next.
You kind of knew that going in. I think to the year, like what he showed in little pockets and windows last year, you were like, this guy looks like he has, you know, plenty of the elements. You got to see. So it, to me, it's kind of, you know, A, it's good for him. I'm like, yeah, I wanted to see the young running backs too. And I think there's real opportunity for running backs that are either at Penn State or that would like to transfer to Penn State and put their hat in the ring. There's a great opportunity there. It's Quentin Martin wasn't a real surprise overall. Like what did he get? 100 and some yards. And, he didn't score a touchdown, but I think he had 20 carries for 105 yards. Anyway, what stood out to me was he averaged 5.2 yards a carry. And down the stretch of this season, pretty much, you know, the Terry Smith sort of, this is the way we're going to play offense. It was about running the football and controlling the game and using your best assets. And that was sort of right around the average of what the running backs were doing, considering the way overall they ran the ball down the stretch. And I know there were several offensive linemen set out, but they're all sort of, it's backups against backups. That Clemson defense was a shell, right? We all know that. So it's backups on backups. It's an equal footing. Penn State just picked up kind of where it's left off. Different people, different guys, but they picked right up where they left off. They're like, this is what we're going to do. And he ran hard. He hit. The thing that impressed me the most, if you want to go at it, sort of in that Katron Allen hit hole, go through hole. There wasn't a lot of dancing. There was a lot of conviction in his running, a lot of purpose. He went where he was supposed to go and said, you know, bring me down. So I thought he ran really hard and intelligent. I just saw a starting running back next year. And Tyke Hayes, excuse me, it's a really enticing combination when you're looking at 2026 in the Penn State football offense.
And we're going to get to, you know, what next for Matt Campbell, and we'll have that discussion, Andy. But, you know, he definitely threw his hat in the ring as capable of being a lead guy there. And Ethan Grunkmeyer, here are the numbers, Andy, 23 for 34, 262 yards, a couple of touchdowns. You know what? He looks like a power four starting quarterback.
He continued his got a little better and looked a little more comfortable trend, right? Like he picked up and put it right there. There's going to be a lot of moving parts and a lot of noise around the quarterback position at Penn State with the new head coach and the new offensive coordinator. I know there's been no intentions made. Why do I feel like he's just going to stand there and say, this is my job, come get it? Does it feel like that to you, Jimmy, or does it feel like he's going to say, I have the talent to play. I'm going to go somewhere where I know I can play.
I think he put on film. Here you go, Coach Campbell. I was pretty good. What it's now your move.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You're going to see him hear a lot about the quarterback position.
And if Coach Campbell, if your move, and let's shift gears, Andy, if your move, Coach Campbell, is to bring in Rocco back, let's be honest here. You're not bringing him in to be a backup.
You are not. You're not bringing Rocco Betts in to be a backup.
So at that point, you know, it's I'm now at the point. I'm Ethan Grunkmeyer. I can start somewhere else. Okay, I don't have to be a backup anymore. And what is the best case scenario? Being able to keep them both. Rocco Beck come in. Ethan Grunkmeyer stays. Ethan Grunkmeyer takes over after a year apprenticeship with Rocco Beck. But you know what, Andy? This was just like Bo Prabula a year ago. Bo Prabula could have stayed as backup at Penn State, his dream school, or he could double or triple his salary by going to Missouri. I don't know about you, but most people in the world would make even if they like their job, they would probably make a move if you could triple your salary.
Agreed. And he gets to wait and see what the head coach does. Like he's holding the cards. There's a couple things I want to just small things I want to point out real quick. Rocco's won a starting job, right? Like he's competed and had to actually in the kitchen win a QB1 job. Ethan's never had to do that. Ethan had to compete for a roster spot at QB2, right? And he earned that. But he has not earned a QB1 job head to head in the direct fire and competition. That's not a flaw of his. That I'm just pointing that out. That remember, one guy's had to earn a QB1 job. One guy, because of injury, was made QB1, performed outstanding, but head to head. And I don't know. Do I think it was a fair fight when James Franklin was saying, "Well, it's a competition"? I don't think so. Not when it came to Drew Aller and the QB2 job at Penn State for 2025. However, I'm just pointing out, I just want to point that out, that just remember that as the world turns at this quarterback position for Penn State under Matt Campbell in his first year, as it evolves here over the next month, we'll learn a little bit more, but that's going to be a part of the equation. But I don't think you get to keep both. I don't think that luxury is going to be afforded to Penn State.
I don't think so either, Andy. And, you know, you say that Rocco Beck has earned, you know, gone mano a mano with another court. To be honest, I don't know the history. I don't know how he got the starting job in Iowa State.
I do. You know, he earned it. He had to earn it.
Or if it was by default. But candidly, I'm more impressed by the quarterbacks who do the job in the game to hold the job for 3 years, which is what Rocco Beck did.
Yes.
And Ethan Grunkmeyer, what impresses me more than if he had won a job is he's able to keep the job. He's able to do the job, you know, when the lights are on and perform. And he has shown to me, you know, those weren't great conditions at Yankee Stadium. You know, the wind blowing and it's cold and guys dropping passes, and he handled it, and he handled it well. So let's move on. We'll get back to the players in a second, Andy. But real quick, I did want to try to get your take on apparently new defensive coordinator. It's been reported, Danton Lynn, new defensive coordinator. I'm saying being reported. We're recording a little bit early, so, you know, it's not official. He didn't coach for USC at the bowl game. It's all but official. He's the new Penn State defensive coordinator. What say you?
So he's I like it, right? So I'll say this. So he's a – his dad was an NFL coach, right? So his dad was a very good NFL coach, became a head coach. And so this is a family business. He has a lot of NFL experience. When his sort of playing days, he was an undrafted free agent after his playing days at Penn State. And I'm going to get to that in a second. He I think he got a little NFL opportunity handed to him courtesy of the family tree, but he has a lot of NFL experience. That's a good thing. He moved from the NFL being positional coach and sort of moving his way up. He took his first coordinator job at UCLA for one season. Unbelievable, like impactful type job under Chip Kelly. And then the very next year, he had 1 year because then UCLA stole him away because they could pay him more money. USC stole him away. And he continued to slowly ascend as the USC defensive coordinator. He was a very, very good college football player, like a lunch pail guy. Like he was from the end of the Paterno era, like 2008 to 11, I think was that. He was one of those players. He was a 3-year starter at Penn State. That's not easy, right? Like he started your sophomore year and, you know, he started nearly 40 games at Penn State. That in that era was very difficult to do. And he earned those stripes. He was a player that was not quite as talented, not quite as naturally gifted and talented. He was still very athletic, but not as gifted and talented as he played. That's something that you'll see out of him as a DC.
All right, Andy, that's it for Q2. Q3, your questions, we ask Andy. Stay tuned.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello, welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3, and we all know what that means. First, ask Andy of the 2026 calendar year. Andrew P., are you ready?
Yeah, as the years have gone by, I like this more and more and more. I don't know why. I just enjoy the unknown.
You just don't like salty Jim giving you questions. You'd rather other people. That's fine. Let's do it. Let's start with Chris in New York, who says, how good a job can Ethan Grunkmeyer get in the portal? Bo got the starting job with Missouri. Could Grunk do even better?
Oh, Missouri's SEC did pretty good. Could he do better? I don't think so. I think he could do something equal in terms of, could he be the Ole Miss quarterback, right? Could he be Michigan State's quarterback? Could he be Michigan's quarterback? Looking at it, could he be Baylor's quarterback? Could he be Kansas State quarterback? Yeah. Could he be the USC quarterback? So I'm saying equal. Yeah.
I agree, Andy. You know, let's go the other way. He's not going to be Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Oregon, one of those teams, Texas. He's not going to be one of those teams' quarterbacks. But I think just below that level, I think he could be a Big Ten quarterback. He could be a Southeast Conference quarterback. He could be an ACC quarterback at Virginia Tech, Andy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even think of that. Yeah, he could.
So I think the comparison to Bo getting the job at Missouri, I think Missouri's happy with the quarterback. I think they have Matt Zollers, ironically, another Pennsylvania kid.
Correct.
But if they did not, you know, I do think that's a level that Grunkmeyer could get to. Let's go to Sam in Youngstown, who said, Matt Campbell was chosen over Terry Smith, and now Danton Lynn is chosen over Anthony Poindexter for the defensive coordinator job. Do you agree with the choices, and do they lose anything by not going with the internal choices?
So I've come to the conclusion that Penn State's athletic director, Pat Kraft, better lucky than good, and could be fired for cause for his malpractice as the athletic director in the coach hiring process. There, I got it out of my system. Not a fan of his work. Let's just put it that way right now, just based on looking at it. I'm like, you didn't. But beyond that, I don't think he was ever going to hire Terry Smith as Penn State head coach. He never saw that as the hire he needed to make. And that even adds more. It's just obvious. That even adds more. He likes Terry. He respects Terry. But there's definitely a hard cap to it. And I thought Terry earned a higher recognition of that. I thought, you know, I still think he got the right guy, but he got lucky. I think that alone tells me that's ignorantly arrogant. So, but I think in getting Lynn over Poindexter, I don't see that the same way. And I think Matt had more to do with hiring Lynn as the DC than anything else. It's his coaching staff. A good athletic director gets the heck out of the way and lets a coach pick his coaching staff. So get out of the way. So this is Matt's choice. I'm not so sure that Poindexter leaves. I really am not. I think Terry's going to be the associate head coach. You know, I just have a sneaky suspicion, because Matt can read the room really well, that he's going to elevate, if Anthony stays, he's going to elevate him to, you know, co-defensive coordinator, something like that. Give him an escalated role inside the coaching room on a week-to-week basis, knowing that Lynn's making the final choices, but he's got a wingman too. So, because that's the way Matt's looking at it. Terry is his wingman. It's not just I can tell you this, it is not just a title that Matt and Penn State have bestowed upon Terry as the associate head coach. It is a role that Matt feels is vital to success.
There's a lot to unwrap here, Andy, and I think you're right in that Terry Smith had never had a chance to get the head job.
Correct.
Okay. He made it interesting, but he was never going to get the head job. And, you know, nothing against Terry, because he did a heck of a job.
Compelling job.
The fact that he's never taken another head job, never, I think, offered another significant head job is telling. Okay. So if you're advocating for Terry Smith getting one of the top 10 jobs in the country with Penn State? Yeah,
absolutely. That's a fair statement.
Do you see any other top 10 team in the country knocking on Terry's door?
No, but I agree with you. No, I don't see another top 10 team. But just remember, Penn State was one no away from Terry Smith as getting the top 10 job.
I would not have been surprised if that were the case. You know, the same thing now, with Anthony Poindexter, it's easy to get caught up. I think it was Kirk Herbstreit and Nick Saban had a bit of a Terry Smith debate.
Yes, they
with
did.
Kirk Herbstreit as the advocate for Terry Smith, and Nick Saban essentially saying, don't get caught up in the emotion and a small sample size.
Correct. And Nick's not wrong, but Nick Nick doesn't know the depth. And remember, Penn State, we've said this all along, Jimmy, it's a niche job, it's a unique job, and Penn State was always looking for the right guy, not the best guy. And Nick only sees the best guy.
And by bringing in Matt Campbell and keeping Terry Smith, it's a bit of getting the best of both worlds, that special, unique, niche market that is Penn State.
Agreed.
And to your point, it's the same thing and a great one you brought up. If they could keep Anthony Poindexter, who's been here at Penn State now for several years, bring Danton Lynn, who's a, you know, alum who played here, has that history. And we'll talk about this a little more in quarter four, Andy, but I think Matt Campbell is doing a great job of balancing what it means, you know, the Penn State niche job, having the Penn State guys stick around versus making sure he brings in the guys he wants in the staff. He's got a big enough staff where he could balance that a bit. So I appreciate that he does that. All right, let's get hit. Larry in Erie, who says, the transfer portal is now completely crazy. I understand there has to be some ability to transfer, but can't they limit it somehow?
Yeah, I'm with you, Larry. It's still the Wild West. I think they have to this transferring 3, 4, and 5 times. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I feel your first step can be. Because if you're looking at the transfer portal and you're like, where do you start? Right? Like, and that goes to Larry's point. It's just crazy. So where do you start when it's cray cray? And I think you can go just start beyond 2.
Of all the people in the world, Andy, John Calipari put this out where he said, you know what? The first transfer is free. After
second
that,
one cost you.
I agree. The problem with it, Andy, is if I'm that kid, if just for example, say Ethan Grunkmeyer had already had a transfer under his belt, okay? They're going to bring Rocco Beck in here, and he's going to turn into a backup where he could transfer and make a lot more money. You're restricting his ability to make an income. If that hits the courts,
yep. They lose.
They lose.
They lose. They lose. They lose. So
I had a big argument with someone over the Christmas holidays about compensating players. And I kept getting from this person, it's just not right. It's just not fair. Other athletes who are working hard aren't getting the money. This is the reality. This is our world. This is our court right. system. You know, the football players are the ones who bring the money in. You know, they're going to make the money. And the transfer portal, you can't necessarily keep them out. All right. I love this question, Andy, so I want to get it in. John from Butler. Not John Butler, right. John from Butler.
Butler, PA.
Andy, you've just become the AD of the worst Power Four team in college football. And Joe Billionaire alum has just given you a blank check to go get a coach. Who are you going after? By the way, I love Joe Billionaire alum.
Yeah. Who am I going after?
Yeah.
I know.
Say
who do you think I'm going after? I want your guess of who you think.
I think you're going to say Kirby Smart.
You're darn right I am. All of it wrapped in one, Jimmy. All of it. Old school meets modern school. Modern school savant. Old school football coach. Understands the modern position and how to blend them for him and still be able to coach and be that coach that he is, while being the savant that you have to be and the CEO that you need to be in this modern game, knows how to blend them and walk there. Give me Kirby Smart. If you give me choice number one every day and twice on Sunday, and I need 10 super Walmart parking lots to see number two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Andy, you didn't, as you are wont to do, you didn't give me much time to respond.
Nope, so, none.
So I'm not going to until we come back. Yeah, we'll do that after this break.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim, he's Andy. It's quarter number four. Andy and I talking sausage between segments. Andy, you know, the answer you said with what coach would you go for? You mentioned Kirby Smart. Great call. Absolutely
mentioned.
Great call.
Hold on. I'm going to go. Mentioned. I made a chapter and verse of strong, passionate case for Kirby Smart. Not yes. A mention, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I'm like, hold
yes,
on.
Yes, you did. I stand corrected.
Yes.
Two quick thoughts on it. One is, I always, you know, like when people talked about Urban Meyer and Nick Saban coaching again, I said, get me the next one, okay? And that's the thing I wonder about. Kirby Smart, he's gone through it, gone through the wars. Is there the next guy, a guy who's a bit younger, you know? And I'm not sure who that is. Is it like Marcus Freeman, someone like that? The other name I'll mention, and I'll completely contradict myself, Andy, is Kurt Cignetti. Has any coach out there more defined what the coaching role in college football is about currently? He perhaps took one of the worst Power Four teams in Indiana and did exactly what you would want them to do. He completely and totally turned it around using today's rules. So he's not a youngster, so he's not that way. But I think he's another name I would throw out there. All right, Andy. We got sidetracked there. Let's get back to where we were about this Penn State team. We're talking about Danton Lynn as the new defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Well thought of, well respected, and it really, my take on it is, I think he's also a wonderful choice because he has the Penn State background, but he still has the full resume, like you talked about, the NFL background. He's been in the Big Ten as a defensive coordinator, proven to do a good job. It seems like an excellent choice and one that balances the Penn State thing with also the resume.
So he's a letterman, right? Like, and he does have the resume. This is Matt Campbell. I think Matt Campbell has that sort of, I call it the innate it thing, where you don't have to point out that Matt knows how to read the room. Matt just knows how to read the room, right? Like, he knows exactly where he is. And like, it's almost like he just kind of slid right into the seat that was waiting for him. Like, has he even made the slightest, like, sort of misstep or said anything that was sort of head-cocking or made a hire or a move that surprised you? Like, he reads the room and understands, like, it's in his soul almost, like, so soon, this is exactly what I need to do. Having said that, it just shows that he understands that sort of niche uniqueness that the Penn State head football coach, that the sort of the fan base and the Letterman and the alumni want him to have. This hire screams that he has it, but it also screams something else to me, which is what the problem was and was eliminated, because I know Penn State went after him last year and he said no. Penn State went after him last year, and he said no. Penn State came back after him, and he couldn't say yes fast enough. In fact, he said yes so fast, he immediately left his team right before the bowl game and said, I have my next job. I have what I want to do.
Okay, I think we're in agreement. We like that pick. Justin Lustig, the current special teams coordinator, he's keeping him on. Again, you know, keeping a Penn State guy here. Good balance. Matt Campbell has very good instincts, I think, Andy.
Instincts, great term.
A feel for the room. I'm kind of moving the conversation along. So much more to talk about because next up is the portal, Andy.
Oh, and there we go.
And it is huge. And so far what's happened is this. There have been guys who have announced they're entering the portal. There are a handful who have announced that they're sticking around. Let's start with the guys, the portal guys out. And again, Andy, by the time folks are listening to this, they may be laughing at us, okay, because of so many different names that are
moving
out there.
Parts, right, a lot of moving parts.
But as of this recording, the guys who have entered the portal, Anthony Ivey, Keon Wiley, Zariah Fisher, Daniel Jennings, A.J. Harris, Alex Birchmeier, Washington, Chaz Coleman. I think Chaz Coleman is a loss, but I think there's more going on there. But Andy, do you look at that list and say, oh no, what are we going to do?
I don't say, oh no, what are we going to do? But I think I'm like, that's a player that Penn State would prefer not to. I'm an A.J. Harris. I think he's an NFL player. I think he has NFL skills. He
didn't play like it, though, this year, and Andy.
I think that was – I don't think he was coordinated and coached very well. I don't think it was a him problem, to be honest with you. I understand why he is transferring. I have a sneaky suspicion that they're going to go after him. I think Lynn's going to want to – bring him back. That's just my instincts. Because I think he's such an upside player, and he has like 6 or 7 of the 10 NFL skills that you want as a developing college player. I don't think it's a loss that they can't overcome, though. Like in a like, oh my gosh, that's just a huge hole that has to be filled. But to me, he feels like a major loss. That's the only one I really see. I mean, there's a couple maybes and like, but he's the one that sticks out to me, Jimmy.
And now on the other side, Andy, and again, based on as we're recording, Cooper Cousins, Anthony Donka, Andrew Rapelier have all announced that they are sticking around. If I'm making a list, and we are going to after this, of guys you want to have stick around, those are three guys on my list.
Yeah, two offensive linemen, you're like, oh my gosh, thank you. They have a building block, right? They have a core to build around, right? Like Anthony and Cooper give them a core to build around. That is bigger than anything else because you start in the trenches. That is a huge, slightly undervalued, but still huge building block for them to figure out. When you go to the bright lights, and you said, you know, if you were to say to me before this news came out, like who was the number one player or who would you put at the top of your list or who are the guys that important to come? Top of my list was Andrew Rapelier. Top of my list. Got it. Man, you want to keep that guy so bad for like 19 different reasons. The second person on my list was Andrew Rapelier and Luke Reynolds both staying. That was my number two. That I would have put at the top of my list of guys you really, really want to and kind of need to keep. They've got one. Can they keep two? I don't know, but one's better than none. So that's also a very, very big thing for Matt Campbell and the offensive staff. They got a building block, and they got a future NFL tight end. I'm sorry. Andrew's a future NFL tight end.
He is. And, our colleague Mike Villagrana has absolutely loved Andrew Rapelier since he and I started doing this show together. And I think, Andy, when you talked about the offensive line with Cooper Cousins and Anthony Donka, you know, that foundation, a big tight end like Andrew Rapelier is part of that also. He's not just a receiver. He's part of that blocking group.
Correct.
So he also is helping towards that foundation. Now, pretty much the entire Iowa State team has entered the portal. And there's no doubt Matt Campbell's going to be able, I think, pretty much have his choice of guys that he wants to bring with him. But, Andy, let's look at the rest of this Penn State roster. You mentioned, you know, the linemen and Rapoyer are guys that you right. would have high on your list as wanting to stick around. Who else is it that Matt Campbell is targeting?
Yeah, I have a few guys. So, I mean, we can go.
Yeah, you go know, ahead. Let's hear them.
Cornerback Darius Dixon.
I
think he developed into a starter, and I think down the Terry Smith stretch, he was probably the best corner on the team, though, without a doubt. So there's so much there, and you've just scratched the surface. My next, I have a next one, and this is for a different reason, and this will be one you. I think King Mack's important. I still think he was able to show, you know, we already transferred to Alabama, didn't work, came back, had to sit in the secondary role, but showed he's still a very talented back end guy. And, you know, with the Penn State guys moving on to the NFL and stuff at the safety position and where that room is, and this defense overall, he's a leader, right? Like, I think he showed more than anything else in his secondary role that he has this leadership to him. He has that sort of it of leadership in him. And I think Penn State 2026 defense is going to need some of that. And I think he's got it. Plus, I think he showed he's still talented enough to play as a back end guy. He's still pretty darn good. So he's the second one to me. And the last one, Yvonne Kamanju, the defensive end, the young DN, high ceiling. Man, gosh, it would be nice to keep him, wouldn't it?
Oh, very, very much so, Andy. And for Matt Campbell, this is where he's going to earn his keep for the 2026 season over these next couple weeks. He's going to be making decisions on Penn State players that he wants to invest in, will yeah. spend the money to keep, and he's also got to make the calls as far as the Iowa State players and be able to do it without sentiment, without, oh, this kid, I loved him on the practice field, he worked hard. You know, can that kid translate to the Big Ten and this level, top 10 in the country level talent? And he's going to have to balance and merge those things. And I mentioned Kurt Cignetti and what he did at Indiana. That's exactly what he did with James Madison players, okay? He went and brought with him the right guys, right, Andy?
You got to. It's not about bringing the best guys. It's about bringing the right guys. And I do agree with you. I think, well, in terms of the Iowa State players, Matt Campbell will cherry pick. He'll know what he has, but he'll know what he needs, and he'll find those guys from Iowa State that fill his needs, not his wants.
And he's going to have plenty of guys to choose from. All right, Andy, that is it. Happy New Year to you, Andy. Happy New Year to everyone out there. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.